Welcome to Land Academy. This is the Cash Flow from Land Show, where we show you how to buy unwanted vacant land and sell it for more on the internet. I'm Steve Butella.
I'm Jill DeWitt.
We are your hosts. With over 15,000 completed transactions, we are the experts in this niche land flipping business.
We hold a drawing to win a free property every month. Enter to win by reviewing this show on iTunes and downloading our free ebook at landacademy.com. All right, let's get this show started.
Matt Terrio is the guy behind both the Your Do Over and Epic Real Estate Investing podcasts on iTunes. He's a fifth generation California native and Desert Storm veteran. After his tour of duty, he resumed his pursuit of a career in music, which ultimately added up to 15 successful years until the bottom fell out of that industry. I remember Napster. After a year or so of soul searching, real estate seemed to present the greatest possibility of doing so. Through self-education, consistent and persistent action, he's been able to recreate the former life he once enjoyed through music and more, like teaching multiple streams of income, cash flow, and real estate investing. Welcome, Matt.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
I got a chance to listen to your podcast, a couple days ago, because I knew we were going to have you on the show, and congratulations, man. Nice work.
Oh, thanks, Stephen. I appreciate
it. So, you're from Los Angeles, right?
I am.
What's the weather like, man?
Yeah. It's been 88 degrees for 8 straight months.
That's a great answer.
And, I get to talk to a lot of people just like you do, and they're from all over the country, and they're complaining about the cold and the rain and the snow. And I was like, please, just one day of snow. I just love one day of snow, at least. And they can't believe that I get bored and tired of 88 degree sunshine. And it's possible. It is. You have too much of anything. You want some change.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Especially when one of those 88 degrees days is on Christmas. And that's no fun either.
We've had a very rainy week here, 2 weeks. And we have all been celebrating here in Scottsdale.
Yeah, mm-hmm. You're in the middle of the desert, and you get more rain than we do. I don't understand.
Exactly.
So true. tell us who you are in the real estate industry, and do you flip houses or what's your niche?
We'll do a few things. Personally, I am an investor myself. I'm a cash flow investor. It was all inspired, back in 2001 by the book Rich Dad Poor Dad, like so many of us entrepreneurs were, and really took an interest into creating passive income and multiple streams of income. And in the real estate world, we call it cash flow. And so I invested in a real estate investing education and just started buying properties and holding them for rent. And after 3 or 4 years of that, I found myself, per the definition inside of Rich Dad Poor Dad, I had escaped the rat race. I got my passive income to exceed my monthly expenses. And, when people around you, your friends, your network, your family, they're kind of wondering, like, don't you ever go to work anymore? I'm like, yeah, sometimes. And so that inspired a lot of coffee meetings and lunches and dinners of, I just want to pick your brain. How did you do it? I want to do the same thing. And so just teaching, I guess, kind of became a natural next step for me. And I started with a podcast and an online platform called the Epic Pro Academy. And then it turned into, after I got done coaching people, they kind of said, wow, that's a lot of work. I said, well, I never said it was going to be easy. I just said it was simple and I did it. And I'll show you how I did it. And that, gave birth to a lot of conversations. Can you just do it for me?
Mm-hmm.
So that started the third head of our business being a turnkey real estate investing operation where we go out and we build cash flow portfolios for busy professionals. So I've got my own investing, I teach how to do it, and I do it for those people that are just too busy or just don't have the desire to do it themselves.
Boy, your path is really similar to the one that Jill and I went down.
Mm-hmm.
And we're developing a product. I think we haven't really formally named it yet, Jill, but I think it's called Turnkey Investment, Real Estate Investment Company, right?
Mm-hmm.
Where we do everything. You know, we everything from getting you set up with a phone number, website,
someone
the whole thing.
To answer the phone.
Yeah.
Okay.
Data, all that stuff.
Sweet.
Yeah.
Sweet.
So we're due to release that in January of next year.
Awesome. Congratulations.
So a lot of people try to do what you do. I mean, what makes you successful at it, or why are you different?
Mm. you know, I coach a lot of people that I would say a good 20%, 30% just really get up before or give up before they ever get out of the gates. And I think I just went in with proper expectations, understanding it was going to be difficult. And also understanding, though, that if I were to persevere, that the rewards would be worth all the effort. And I am also constantly aware of the alternative because I was in the music business for 15 years. And then, you know, when the digital download came along and turned that business upside down, I had to reinvent myself, so to speak. And when I went out to go and look for a job, I, you know, 6 months of job searching, all different types of stuff, life insurance, car salesman, admin work. I was like, please just give me anything. I looked at franchises. I looked at MLMs. I tried everything. Mm-hmm. And I didn't like any of it. And once I was introduced to real estate, I was like, okay, this has to work because I can't go back to any of that other stuff I just tried.
Yeah.
So I think that's my driving passion is just to, like, I'm running away from ever bagging groceries again, so to speak. And I did that at age 34, and that was a humbling experience. So I've just took a grasp of learning and just doing what I was actually taught. You know, so I've been such a fan of personal development material and books and stuff like that for so long. And I look back on my life, like, I would go to a seminar, I'd read a book, I'd feel so supercharged and excited about life and realize that I didn't implement anything I learned. I just felt good. And I, you know, I guess when you hit 35, 36 years old, you start to gain a little bit of wisdom. And I looked back like, well, it sure made me feel good, but what difference did it really make in my life? So I made a commitment. If I have to learn something new, I'm actually going to do what they tell me to do this time. And if I don't, I know what's waiting for me. It's paper or plastic, you know? So that has kept me motivated. And, you know, it's just like anything. It's a skill. And it's just like a skill as simple as tying your shoe. I mean, there was a time where you just could not make that bow happen.
Yeah.
And now you're at a place where most people are at a place that, you know, they can be chewing gum, have one ear on the phone, running halfway out the door and still tie their shoe without even thinking about it. Mm-hmm. And you do something enough times with enough repetition, it becomes just like that. And that's how real estate has become for me. So it's not even a challenge for me really anymore. Mm-hmm. So I guess that's a long answer to your question of why I'm different.
No, it's great. I mean, you know, what makes me feel great is cash flow. I mean, it is truly the greatest high there ever was.
Absolutely.
It's, you know, you wake up in the morning, it's like, man, I, you know, I hit the ground running when I wake up in the morning because it's just, I call it getting high. I get high in the morning. Mm-hmm. Don't take that out of context, but
I wouldn't judge you if it was in a different context.
But it is freeing, and I like what you said too. And when you get to that level where your income, your passive income, outseeds what you need every month, gosh, don't you sleep well at night? And you can really get creative now, and maybe, I don't know, go some different directions.
Indeed, you know, when I was in the music business, it wasn't really a residual income like that because the records at that point, at that time in the music career or the music industry, you know, the shelf life was getting shorter and shorter on new records because new records were coming out so fast. So, you know, you had to get that big spike and that big, as much money as you could, you know, in that first month or two. Right. And, you know, so I always had a decent sized bank account. I always had a really healthy bank account. But that did not give me the peace of mind that the smaller bank account with the monthly cash flow every month does. So I sleep a lot better. And no one would really categorize myself or categorize me as rich by looking at my bank account. But if they saw what came in each month that I didn't have to work for, then once you've tasted both, I prefer the cash flow.
Yeah. You know, I have an accounting background and I don't know any other investment vehicle at all that provides both the income statement and the balance sheet piece to what you're saying, you know, so you've always got that equity you can fall back on too.
Right.
Like Jill says, I don't know, how do you put it, Jill? Hey, if something goes wrong, we'll just sell a bunch of these things, you know? Mm-hmm. So it provides both. And people, when I explain that to certain people that we own a bunch of real estate and it cash flows, they either really love that or they look at me cross-eyed and say, as if to say, why would you want that hassle? you know? So people either get real estate or they don't. I think it's great that, you know.
I love that question. You know, I just got an email the other day, or a guy signed up for my coaching program, and then he had his initial call with me, and then the next day he asked for his money back because he said, you know what, that's just going to be too much work. I'm just going to go back to my customer service job, I think is at one of the department stores. Wow. Sorry to and he said, sorry to inconvenience you. And I was like, inconvenience me? You're going back to customer service job right now. Wow. You know, so why would you want to deal with that hassle? Well, you can deal with the hassle working for yourself, or you can deal with the hassle working for someone else. You're not going to survive in this world without experiencing some sort of hassle. So, you know, I pick the hassle that pays the most.
Exactly. Yeah,
exactly. I pick the hassle that pays the most.
Yeah.
Great.
You know, at the end of these podcasts, Jill names the show. Mm-hmm. And that's a good contender, Jill.
I kind of like that. Yeah, I've already written it down here.
So give us an example of a deal that you're working on right now, a real estate deal.
Let's see. We do probably 10 to 15 transactions a month. But what I'm working on right now that's really exciting is I just started my own real estate hedge fund.
Wow.
Went through the whole private placement process with the SEC and the whole lawyer thing and put down a giant chunk of money that was a little bit uncomfortable, but I know it's all going to be worth it. But I put that together because I've done very much of my real estate with very little of my own money or credit. A lot of money partners, a lot of different structures and joint ventures and lenders. And I got to a point where I think I had 8 LLCs with, I don't know, combined probably 19 different partners in those LLCs with a different strategy operating in every single LLC with a different structure. And it just became a bookkeeping nightmare.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, one strategy would work. One LLC was working, the other one wasn't. So then you had to rob Peter to pay Paul. Then you had to go back to Paul to pay back Peter and blah, blah. And it just became a headache. So what I was introduced to was the world of hedge funds. And, you know, we hear that word. It's pretty commonplace in most households now. But I don't know if most people know exactly what it is. But what it was for me was to liquidate all of those LLCs, transfer all of that into one fund to the point where now anytime I come across a new investor that wants to partner with me or wants to loan me money, I don't have to go through all that hassle of creating another LLC, create another bank account, another structure, and go back and forth in negotiations. Now they can just buy shares of my operation.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so I'm extremely excited about that. And that's what we've been working on. We actually just opened that up last week. So we are that's what's been most exciting in our business lately.
Have you raised the money already?
No, we just opened the doors like 7 days ago. Okay. We had our first three meetings in the last 48 hours. So,
boy, I'm going to watch that very closely because every once in a while, this is the conversation Jill and I have. What if we had like, I don't know, $15 million on hand? You know, what could we turn it into? Could we turn it into $30 million and how long would it take? Mm-hmm. Or, you know, the typical assets that we turn, you know, we purchase an asset, let's say it's a 40-acre property for very little, $4,000 or $5,000. Mm-hmm. And, we either turn around and sell it for 12 to 15 cash, mm-hmm. or we sell it for something like 22,000 or 25,000 on terms and then collect a couple hundred bucks a month forever, you know, 20 years or so. Right. So it ends up being, when you do it at the end of the day, it ends up being a 50% year over year, 50% return. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, and to any investor, that's fantastic, especially because you've got the asset base forever.
Sure.
Almost forever. So, you know, I can't wait to see how this goes for you, man. I'm sure that it's going to go well. Plus, you seem like a natural salesperson.
Yeah, we've already done it, so now we just have it all under one umbrella instead of all spread out. So, it's like it's not really a concern of how it's going to go for me. I'd be happy to share with you, no problem there.
Yeah.
But it's what we've been doing for a decade now already, just in a different format. So now we're just going to put it all under one umbrella and save some trees, so we don't do as much paperwork.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you source properties and then how do you sell them? Or rent them, I guess, in your case.
As far as sourcing, we do a lot of direct to seller marketing to private owners. We operate our turnkey operation in 10 different markets right now. And so we've got a couple real estate agents in each market. We've got a couple property managers in each market. We've got a load of bird dogs and wholesalers in each market. I buy a lot of property from my students through my Epic Pro Academy. So we've got deals and we've got buyers, and you know, some of the stuff we hold for ourselves, a lot of the stuff is going to be going into the fund now because they're just deals that we can't afford to pass up and sell to someone else. We'd rather keep them. Mm-hmm. And then through to our turnkey clients as well. And then whatever doesn't fit any of those categories, then we just wholesale it to another investor whose category it does fit.
That's great. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we do a lot of transactions with our members also. Mm-hmm. In fact, that was the reason that Jill and I decided to really put this whole thing together, the Land Academy scenario together, because mm-hmm. you know, there's a lot of people sourcing transactions, and right. we've never done so many deals as we do now.
Right. Yeah, that was actually a side benefit I wasn't expecting when I started teaching, was how much more business I would do inside of my real estate just because of the position I held with people and teaching them how to do it. And that's
exactly.
It's been a very pleasant bonus for sure.
Mm-hmm. So what do you tell your students who are starting out? I mean, I'm sure that you have some kind of, I'm sure you have some good advice. What is it?
Well, go in it with the mindset that this is what you do now. This is not a dabble type thing. Let's try it out for 90 days to see if it works. If anyone has that mindset coming into my program, then it's like, keep your money. Because sometimes it can work in as little as 30 days. And oftentimes it does. Someone will get results inside of 30 days. But there's other times where some of my most successful students, it took them 6 months to get results. So that's one thing, is to set their expectations appropriately with regard to the results that they're going to get. The second thing would be focus. Make it your intent to hold every single deal that comes across your table. Make that your intent. You don't have to do it, but just look for the ways of how you can hold it first. And by that, I just kind of sum it up, is don't focus on creating piles of money. Focus on creating streams of money.
Yeah, one deal at a time.
Right? And so that's the second thing. And then that's as far as the mindset goes. And then the three tactful or actual things that they have to do. One, you can't do anything in this business unless you generate leads. Mm-hmm. So you have to have a consistent lead generating source, mm-hmm. whether that's direct mail, whether it's your roadside signs, whether it's networking at Chamber of Commerce events or RIA meetings. You have to do something consistently that brings in deal or leads consistently, or else you just don't have a business.
Well said.
The mm-hmm. second thing is you have to contact those leads when they do come in, and you have to follow up. And you have to follow up and follow up and follow up. If you're not prepared to contact the leads, don't spend the money or waste the energy in generating the leads in the first place. So you've mm-hmm. got to make a commitment to contacting them. And the third thing is, every person you contact gets an offer from you. They get an offer in writing.
That's what we do.
Perfect. Then you're all good.
We do a lot of stuff in common.
Yeah, there's a lot.
But the point is like, a lot of people can come in, they can be really smart, they can generate the leads, they can become masters at lead generation, they can even have the greatest gift of gab and great salespeople and be really good at talking to people and building that rapport. But if you don't write that offer, it was mm-hmm. all for waste. Mm-hmm. And the dynamic changes in a real estate transaction once it's in writing. So you might get or a no, even verbally, but you put it in writing, drop it in the mail. That thing they might call you the next day, they might call you 6 months from now. Mm-hmm. But they're only going to call the people that did put it in writing. So those are the three basics that you have to have. And this is the one rule I've got. You're not allowed to complain about any part of the business until you have those three systems in place.
Wow, that's great. You're not allowed to complain.
Nope, because when you have those three systems in place, all the complaints go away. There's nothing to complain about because you're doing business.
That's right.
So
you know, we take it a step further. We actually send offers out as the first direct mail piece. Mm-hmm. So it's a two-piece mailer that we can.
You're in, you market exclusively in Scottsdale, or are you in other states?
Oh, we're all in the west of the Mississippi for the most part. Depending on what the end result is with the property, it's almost always west of the Mississippi. But I do a lot. I'm from Michigan, so we do a lot of upstate Michigan for like vacation type lots and stuff.
Right. That's good. I'm sure that's effective for sure.
But the number one comment that we get from the people, the landowners that we market to, you know, to source the transactions, they say, you know, I get a lot of mail, or I get some mail, but I've never received an offer. you know, and so they end up calling us, and you know, our response rates has shot through the roof since we started doing that. And I guess it was probably 2004.
Super. Yeah, we do something similar. We don't do it with everything, but what we'll do is we have a VA that scours property management websites and looks for the properties that they're advertising for rent. Then she searches title on that address. So we know the property is vacant. We know it's an absentee owner, and we know it's rent ready. And then we'll send them what we call a 3-option letter of intent when two of those options are seller financed proposals. So we'll direct mail that, but we haven't actually sent an actual offer, but we do something similar.
That's brilliant, Matt. So it cuts down on the work that you have to do on the physical work you have to do on the asset.
Yeah. And then hopefully we generate the phone call and we say, hey, you're trying to generate cash flow. That's probably why you bought this place in the first place. It's sitting there vacant. You're not generating anything. Why don't I just take it over from you and I'll give you cash flow. It won't be as much as you would get if you held onto it for yourself, but at least you won't have the headaches. So that's kind of our pitch. And, you know, some do it, some don't, but we get a lot of deals that way.
I had a sign on my desk for years and it said, good acquisitions solve all other problems. Now, if you have a sales problem with an asset, it's because you didn't buy it right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Indeed.
Are you just in Southern California, Matt, or are you all over?
Well, my office is in Southern California, but we do no investing inside this state. I have three properties here. Just they kind of happen on accident. But most of our stuff is in the Midwest and in the South. So that's where the cash flow numbers make the most sense. Mm-hmm. And you can get double-digit returns there without using any leverage. So that's why we're there, just the purchase price to rent ratio.
Great.
Okay.
Hey, where can we find you on the internet?
Boy, where can't you find me? No, Ground Zero, home base is epicrealestate.com.
Okay. Are there a few sites you wish that we shouldn't?
I shouldn't have said that. Don't do any Google searches.
What might come up? Hey, I saw your mugshot yesterday. No, just kidding.
There is a guy with my name.
Excellent.
With a mugshot. And there's actually a newspaper clipping. Thank God he looks nothing like me, so no one mistakes it for me. But there is a guy with my name and his mugshot.
That's hilarious.
There are two people in this country that have my name, the first and last name. Uh-huh. And they're one's a medical doctor and one's like a rocket scientist.
Really? So,
yeah, I'm like the third ugly duck with the name, you know.
That's funny.
Hey, Jill, did you name our program?
I do love that you're not allowed to complain, but I'm going to have to go back to the pick the hassle that pays the most. Because it's so true. You know, we have, you know, you kind of have students and members and people you work with, and we do also. And it's funny, some of the questions I get, I kind of want to go, okay, wait a minute, everyone. You know, every business is going to have, you know, a similar type of thing. Let's just deal with it and move on, you know.
Right.
It's funny, but can totally relate, and I love it.
You can outsource most of the hassles you have, I think.
Yeah, not a hassle. I mean, it's no more hassle than your boss screaming down your throat or telling you when you can go on vacation or when you can and can't go to lunch.
Right.
And if you want to deal with that hassle, then be my guest. I'd rather deal with, you know, a disgruntled tenant every once in a while.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Well, see, you know, that's, Matt, one of our things, I turn it, for me, maybe it's you and I and our Southern California thing, I take it like a challenge. If someone's mad at me because I made an offer that's so darn low, okay, A, you're on the phone talking about it, so you're obviously thinking about selling. What is a decent offer? And, you know, we're going to laugh about it at some point, and I'm probably going to buy your asset. Mm-hmm. So you can turn around, have fun with it, and that's what I do.
Yeah. It's you know, it's just everyone, I guess, has their own preference for what they want to do with during the day. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the horror stories that accompany real estate, and like even to someone that would ask the question, why would you want to deal with that hassle?
Right.
I would really question how much real estate they've done. Where did they come up with their assessment that real estate has to be a hassle?
Yeah. You know?
And
I think maybe they're a really bad tenant themselves.
Maybe, or they have a friend, or they heard about it on in a seminar, or TV, or whatever. It's mm-hmm. it's like no, right. It's you got your bad apples, of course, and you get bad properties. But you know, if you keep on doing it, the good far weighs out the bad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh yeah.
I tell you, all those auto pay deposit statements that I get, those are not a hassle.
I love my little Section 8 deposits for sure.
Thank you. Yeah. Not a hassle.
Not a hassle.
Hey, Matt Terrio, it was great to talk to you. Thank you for taking the time out to tell us about how unhassled your whole business model is. I really, really appreciate it. Hey, and I'm going to call you back like in, I don't know, 2 or 3 or 4 months and ask you about the hedge fund, if that's all right.
Sure, absolutely. You can go check out what we got set up at epicwealthfund.com.
Excellent.
Cool. And that's our landing page where we've got all the information. So you can follow along and stay in touch with the story there.
Great.
Alrighty. Yeah, I hope I see you next time I'm out at the beach.
Yeah, huh? We'll have to do that for sure. Thanks, Jill.
Totally.
All right. Thanks again.
So fun.
What a pro. You know, you can just tell he's got this professional approach to it.
I'm going to go with it's the Southern California attitude.
Yeah, you know, he's the Marines, and I think that he's just dedicated.
Shucks, I forgot about that. That says something right there, too. Mm-hmm. That you're right. The person that has worked with us off and on, you know, for a while, that was also military. You know who I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. Talk about a work ethic and, you know, don't leave your desk and just kill it every day. Sure. Attitude. That sure makes a difference.
Right.
And I appreciate that. So you're right. He's got that also on his side, which is really good. Unlike us. We want to goof off. Just kidding.
Can you imagine if we had a hedge fund with like tons and tons of money in it and we actually did all the deals that people, all the offers that were sent back to us, if we did all those?
Aren't we kind of going that direction?
We are, but I just think, I mean, you know, our acquisition list is constantly 120 units long. And we only do the absolute best deals that we want to do. So, you know, it's a great idea. Actually, it's got my wheels turning now.
Well, you know, what's funny about that is Aaron in our office asked me that just this week. It was a version of, is it just me or have you guys not sent out a mailer in a little while? And I said, Aaron, have you noticed I can barely keep up with what I have right now? Yeah. She said, oh, yeah, you're right. I said, yeah, all I would do is have my phone ringing off the hook, and all I have to say is, like, I can't do it right now. I can't do it right now. So I was like, okay, got it. So it's true. It's good. I'm already busy, and boy, to open the floodgate like that.
Yeah.
I think we kind of did, though. I mean, I look at it like with our program and everybody out there and some of the deals that we're doing with our members, I kind of look at it like a version of that too. So
yeah, that's true.
Mm-hmm. So that, I think it's all good.
Well, good for him, you know. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Let's say the bigger picture is since we really turned our podcasts up a notch and really started reaching out to other like-minded professionals, it's clear to me there's still enough of this to go around.
Oh my gosh, yes. You know, acquisitions have never, ever, ever been an issue, even in the worst downturn or upswing or whatever. Mm-hmm. You know, yeah, there's no... The other thing, too, is that he's in a rental model, mm-hmm. you know, which I think is a fantastic model, but I really think that ours is better. I think that we just don't... Mm-hmm. There's no tenant issues at all. You know, mm-hmm. So once it's sold and placed, that's it. You know, get a phone call from the guy who purchased it, I don't know, once a year or twice a year, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
And you watch the, like you said, you watch the money come in.
Mm-hmm. It's, you know, it does sound a little bit stressful to me that, you know, what's one of the things that seems stressful, I should say, or whatever the word is for me, is in that market, finding the deals is I think harder than ours. I'm blindly making offers to how many people at once, you know, a ton. And I just sit back and wait for my phone to ring. No one's needed to go and really source it and watch some of those.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I'm just saying? It sounds like it's a full-time person that's really sitting there looking for things for rent and da 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 and trying to take the headache off that person. That's a lot of work.
Yeah, something's got to give, in my opinion, in the residential acquisition model. So, and he's got a really unique way of doing it. He contacts rent-ready owners.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so he's probably paying a little bit more for those properties, but he's giving up the hassle of renovation.
That's true.
So it's kind of at scale. In our situation, it's always, there's no issues like that. It's right. All just price.
Right.
You know, there's a, you got to check location and access and stuff, but man, you can do that in 3 minutes on Google Earth.
You know what's nice too, though? All of our deals, I can yield probably a similar return and a lot less cash up front. You know, I'm not having to come up with $80,000
right.
Or gosh, who knows? Well, he did say the South and other areas. So it's not necessarily, I was thinking he's doing this in Southern California. I'm like, wow, You know.
No, 80 is a good number. I bet 80 is a real good target rent ready number for a property.
Mm-hmm. But I don't have to come up with that, you know, and tie it up like that.
Mm-hmm.
I can tie up 8 all day long. I can do 10.
8 without financing.
Right. So
if we spent $8,000
right.
on buying 40 acre properties, it would be limitless.
Right.
You know, we spend what, 2 sometimes? Right. Maybe 4.
Maybe 4. Depends. But you're right. So it's just different. It's so great. It's a version of the same thing, but I'm going with the easier model and I don't have to worry about a lot of that stuff.
You know what we should do? We should do some version of this. We should take a very successful or already successful. We should make a promotion out of this. Take an already successful person like Matt, who's, you know what I'm going to say.
I know this is a challenge. Like, you know, I don't know. We start with the same amount and in, I don't know, 6 months or something, let's all compare notes on what you've turned that into. And
that's a great idea. But my idea was take an already successful residential real estate model, our mm-hmm. rental model, and say, you know what? Instead of doing this next deal that you're going to do over here, and you've clearly figured this out, somebody like Matt, mm-hmm. why don't you just spend $4,000 on this 40 acre property? Watch how fast you sell it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, try it our way. And then see if you can kind of, you know, what I'm saying is maybe you mm-hmm. can do both. Mm-hmm. You know, our program could really work for an already established investor who's got the residential market licked.
We have those people. It already does work for both.
Right.
It's true. I think that I just think that people don't get, I think it must get overlooked. I think our niche, or people just don't realize how easy it is.
Yeah.
You know, I think there's, you know what? And they're seeing the late night infomercials that we laugh at. And they think that's the only option, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't realize there's a much easier, quicker way to do all this.
Sure. Right.
Mm-hmm.
That's why we have this podcast.
I know. Thank you.
What was the title again? I forgot. I didn't write it down.
Because probably someone's listening to this now at 3 a.m. So, yeah. All right. Like for Matt Terrio, it's, what did I say? Oh, you want our thing or you want the title of this?
The title of our podcast, the one that you chose.
Oh, I do like pick the hassle that pays the most. That's good. That's really good stuff. I like it.
Or maybe like real estate is the, no, I don't know. We'll figure it out. I'll clean it up a little bit.
Okay.
I'm make it a little more. I'm a little more positive than, you know, the word hassle, but it'll work.
Okay. All right, I got it. All right, I gotta get going.
Let's go buy some property.
Great. Bye.
We hold a drawing to win a free property every month. Enter to win by reviewing this show on iTunes and downloading our free ebook at landacademy.com.
If you want to get involved or you need more information about our profitable, niche real estate operation, call 480-467-0359. You just might get Jill at the other end of the line.
LandAcademy.com. You are not alone in your real estate ambition.